that God has blessed us with another opportunity of worship. Appreciate the wonderful singing, the prayers, and the ability to come together and to commune with our Lord and to acknowledge the fact that it is through his death and his great offering of his blood and then the resurrection that we are here today. And so I thank him for being God and loving us enough to send his son into this world. Good to see all of you that are here. Those of you who are visiting with us, it's truly an honor to have you in our midst today. I want to call your attention again to Hebrews chapter 10. And I promise to finish my thought today. But, you know, the promises of men are not the promises of God. But I'm going to do the very best that I can. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want you to follow with me, beginning at verse number 18. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering of sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. On last week, from verse 22, I ask that we see this admonition, this behavior that he is asking of us to draw near, that our focus would be upon God. We draw near to God because he is inviting us into his presence. And I hope that I made the point from the Hebrew epistle that under the new covenant, we have a new and a living way, which is through Christ Jesus our Lord. It is through his sacrifice and the shedding of his innocent blood, not the blood of bulls and goats, but his blood that he has offered to God on our behalf, that you and I now have the remission of sins. The remission of sins is far different from the sins when the blood was being offered for the sins of the people under the old covenant. Every year their sins were brought before them again. But Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, died once, and he has eternally satisfied the sins of the world. And so you and I are blessed to be able to come into the very presence of God, not just on Lord's Day, but we can come to God any day, any hour. God will hear us and God will accept us because you and I have been forgiven of our sin. We thank Jesus Christ for his sacrifice. We thank him for being our great high priest who is now sitting at the right hand of God. So we can boldly come into the presence of God because of Jesus Christ. Let our request be made known, and he will help us. He'll help us in our times of sickness. He'll help us in our times of bereavement. He'll help you, even with helping you to find your keys if you lose your keys. The Lord is just that good that he can help you with anything that you have. My wife just believes that all she has to do is just pray, and the Lord will show it to her. And so I just believe that that's the kind of God that we serve. You can bring any and everything to him because he has allowed us into his presence. So in our behavior, let us draw near to God. Let us think of him every day. Let us go to him in prayer, acknowledging him and making sure that he knows that we're appreciative to him. Now, when you look at verse number 20, Well, let's start at verse number 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. On that particular behavior, and on that particular admonition, I ask you to think in terms of covenant. You know, God has made promises, and his promises are faithful. Say it again, Brother Gibbs. He has made promises, and his promises are faithful. He will keep his promise. God may tarry, his timetable may not be your timetable, but God will keep his promise. He is such a God of faithfulness that he has no problem putting his will and his promises to us in writing. That's the covenant. He puts his promises and what he has guaranteed us in writing. That's why he told Moses, come up on the mount. And he had him there 40 days and 40 nights, writing out the covenant. And he put it on tables of stone, which means that he wanted it to be permanent. Write it in a book. Keep it in the Ark of the Covenant, that the people might know that what I have promised, I will give to them. God does not make a covenant without making a promise. When he made promise to Abraham, God, when he made covenant with Abraham, he made a promise that he would make him great, promised him that he would bless him, promised him that he would give him a great nation, promised him that he would bring his seed into the land of Canaan. God kept his promise. God is a God of promise. You and I need to understand, what has God promised me? He promised me that he would work all things together for my good. All things. That's a promise. Whatever you do, if you love God and you stay in covenant relationship, he'll work out all the circumstances toward the goodness that you and I deserve and even don't deserve. He promised us that he would also forgive us of our sin. You got to believe that. Don't ever let your sin become an encumbrance that keeps you from coming near to God, allowing God to be able to nurture you and to love on you. He has already promised you that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. You got to believe that. When the devil tells you that that's not true, tell them, the devil, you're a liar, because God has promised and God has written. God has promised us that at the end of this life, he will give us eternal life. And that is, he is gone to prepare a place for us. He said, if I go, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise, ladies and gentlemen. He has promised us eternal life. He has promised us a new body. He has promised us that we will be able to live with him in the joys of his Father's kingdom. So I pray that you and I will draw near to God. I'm praying that you and I will remember his covenant, remember what he has written to us, live according to that. That will elevate your praise to him, because you can't help but to come to him in thanksgiving for what he has done. Now, what I want to do is to conclude these four avenues, behaviors, or ways. And I want to go now with you to verse 24, where he says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now, that particular behavior, that particular avenue of worship to him, I ask you to think in terms of one another. I ask you to think in terms of fellowship with your brothers and sisters. There is absolutely no way for us to have a relationship with God and not have a relationship one with the other. That's why he says, let us draw near. Let us hold fast our profession. And then he says, let us consider one another, that we might stir up one another unto love and good works. I want to deal with the word consider. When he says consider one another, He is simply saying, give attention to one another. He is simply saying, fix your attention. Not only give attention, but fix your attention upon one another. Give continuous care one to another. Watch over one another. It reminds me when Cain slew his brother Abel, and God came to him, and he asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? And he asked the question, am I my brother's keeper? In other words, he wanted to let God know that he ought to be able to answer for himself. No, you answer for your brother. Tell me where your brother is. That was God's way of saying that we are responsible for one another. And so we must pay attention to one another. Give attention to one another. We're living in a very difficult world where we live in isolation, where we don't want to be bothered by individuals. And that's the way technology has fixed it, where you don't even have to talk to one another. Just text one another. Am I right about it? There's so many ways that you and I don't have to deal with one another. And it's being purposely done. But God doesn't want us to live isolated one from another. God wants us to be involved one with the other. He wants us to be considerate of one another. And then when you think in terms of to provoke, that's an interesting word. Because the word provoke means to stir up. It means to make an argument with. When you're dealing with your brother and you're concerned about your brother, you got to provoke him to do what God has asked us, to love one another and to be involved in good works. Let's pay attention to one another. If you're not doing what you ought to do, then you got to provoke. Amen. You got to make an argument with. You got to stir up one another, incite one another, and be in contention with one another. You know, the Bible is right. It's difficult being in this human flesh to always do what God has asked us to do. That's why we have to be conscientious about one another and notice what we're doing and then prompt one another, provoke one another. Now, brother, that wasn't right. Sister, that wasn't right. And you're going to have to do better about that. But most time we have the tendency that we want to empathize with one another, sympathize with one another. And so when you hear what your brother says, you know it's wrong, but you say, well, I understand. Don't lie to him. Tell him, no, that ain't right. No, that didn't even sound right. Amen. That I don't think I read the Bible like that. Now you're going to have to, that's what you call stirring up one another, and that's what it calls provoking one another. You better go back and read that text again. Amen. But most time, we don't want to do that. Hear what the Bible says. In John 13 and verse number 34, here Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This idea of love is so important among the body of Christ. And therefore, when you and I worship God, we need to see that it's for the purpose of us encouraging one another and provoking one another to continue to express and demonstrate the love that God has demonstrated toward us. And that love doesn't need to be hypocritical based on Romans 12 and verse number 9. The Bible tells us plainly, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. That takes work, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we go to the gym, well, y'all go to the gym, and y'all work out. And the reason you're working out is because you know that the body fights hard, amen, to just go the way it wants to go. And you get on those machines, you all get on those machines, and you all work those muscles and work that body back and make that fat just get on back in place and tell it that you're not welcome. You know what? I'm trying to show you that in order for the body to maintain, you got to work at it. And it's the same way when it comes to love and good work. Sin wants to just make you do whatever you want to do, but you're going to have to be able to contend with it and fight with it. You know, many of your new automobiles have a feature that I think is very good, and that is that you can set a button, and what it does, it makes you stay in your lane. And whenever you get ready to get out of your lane, it'll buzz you and let you know that you moved out of your lane. You move over to the left, it'll do the same thing. And then if you come up to a stop sign and you don't stop, it'll let you know that you didn't stop. And it'll let you know what the speed limit is. And, you know, now that's a good feature on these cars. Well, that's the way God wants us to let the Spirit of God work with us. Now that wasn't love. Boom, bad, bump you back. Amen, amen. That wasn't the right way to say that. Bump you back. And so what God wants us to do is to provoke one another. That's what that instrument is doing. It's provoking you to stay in your lane, provoking you to drive right. And so that's what it's doing. And so we got to do that for one another. When you see your brother out of his lane, bump. You know, just hit your horn and say, get back over there, brother. And so that's what God wants us to do. Now, it sounds comical, but I'm telling you this, the truth is that you know when you're out of your lane. Let's do what we need to do in order to encourage one another. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse number 10, you know, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then the Bible comes back in verse number 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So as the people of God, the behavior that God wants us to practice is considering one another and making sure that we provoke one another and do what we need to do to encourage one another to do as God has asked us to do. And then the last point that I want you to see with me, and that is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Not forsaking the assembling. Now that's the fourth behavior. And that is, and I ask you to think in terms of a place. And let us draw near, think of God. Let us hold fast our profession, let's think of the covenant. Provoking one another, considering one another, that you're thinking of your brothers and your sisters. But now, here's a behavior that God wants us to practice and put in place, and that is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another the more as you see the day approaching. Now, when you read this, the assembling has to deal with the Christians and brothers and sisters coming together. And coming together has to include the worship, which is on the Lord's Day. Well, why do you say that, Brother Gibbs? Because we are commanded to remember the Lord's death on the first day of the week. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and he asked us to come together and to commune with him, commune with one another, remembering his death. God has always wanted his people to assemble in order that there may be encouragement among one another, that they may be rehearsed in the covenant that God has made with them, that they may be instructed in his word. God has done that from the beginning of time. When you look at Cain and Abel, they came to worship together. When you think in terms of the children of Israel, after they came out of bondage and God delivered them and they built the tabernacle, God had those days of convocation where the children of Israel came together. The the time of the Passover was for people to come, especially the men, to come to the feast, or come to that dedication, come to that remembrance of how God brought them out of Egypt, and how that the blood was over the doorpost, and how he passed over them. That's what Passover means, how God delivered them from death, how God delivered them from bondage. You got to know that God wants us to come together in order that we don't forget. Think about it. If he didn't command us to come together, we wouldn't come together. You see? And that's why it's so important that we understand that this is a behavior that God wants us to practice. He wants us to remember and to follow up and do as he has asked us to do. It's not about him, it's about us. If you forget from whence you have come, if you forget how that God brought you through and opened up this new and living way through Christ Jesus, then there's so much out there in the world that would distract you and keep you from that. But once a week, God wants us to assemble that you might remember what God has done for you. And that's for our benefit, because if you don't stay close to God and let God work in your life and be a part of your life, then the devil will take you and he will destroy you. So God is doing it for our purpose and for our benefit. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Now, when you think in terms of this idea of assembly, please know that it's about us worshiping this great God who has opened up this avenue for us to come in and fellowship with him. It's about us remembering the covenant that Jesus Christ consecrated for us through his body and through his sacrifice of his body and his blood. Jesus Christ knows that without us coming together to encourage one another and to exhort one another, then our families would not be strong. We would not have the right spirit and attitude on our jobs and in our neighborhoods. Without God, we are absolutely in darkness. Without God, we are lifeless. God has to be a part of his creation and his people. And that's why the church must keep him before the world. Your neighbors need to see you coming to worship service. They need to know that the church is vitally important to you. They don't need to see you out working in your yard when service is going on, out there on the fish bank while service is going on, the golf course while service is going on, washing your car while the service is going on. Shame on us if you watching NFL football when the saints have gathered together in order to worship God, to encourage one another. The early church did it, church. Remember when those early Christians, go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, put that on the screen for me. And I want to look at verse number 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42. I want you to see this now. The Bible is so clear in how that the early Christians, Acts 2 and verse number 42. And watch what the Bible said. And they continued how? Steadfastly. In the what? In the apostles' what? Doctrine and what? Fellowship in what? Breaking of bread and in what? Prayers. Watch verse number 43. And the Bible says, and fear came upon what? Every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Verse 44. Watch the Bible. And all that believed were what? Together. And had what? All things common. So God saves us individually, but he still wants us all to come what? Together. And share that which we have in common. Verse number 45. Watch the Bible. And sold their possessions and goods, and did what? And parted them to how many men? To all men, as every man had what? Need. This is how you work together in harmony with your brother and your sister and serving one another. But watch verse number 46. The Bible said, and they continuing how? Daily with what? One accord in the temple. So you got to stay together. You got to do it. Not just on Sunday, but as often as you can, breaking of bread and in prayer, breaking of bread from what? House to house. And did eat their meat with what? Gladness and singleness of heart.
praising God and having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the early church, they assembled and came together daily. You and I need to understand the more we come together, the more we in fellowship one with the other, the greater possibility of our faith being increased and us staying faithful to the Lord. When a home is broken, many times it's because they have not stayed in the fellowship. They have allowed some outside interest to take more of their time than the things of God. When you stay close to God and draw near to God, God will draw near unto you. Now, I'm going to end by going back to Hebrews. I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to show you that when you assemble with God, when you assemble with God and assemble together, you know, Jesus has already said, where two or three are what? Gathered in my name, there I am in the what? In the midst. But I want you to see that it's broader than that. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 22, if you don't mind, put that on the screen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 22. I want to show you that when we come together, it's more than just us who are here. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 22, the Bible is right. But ye are come unto what? Mount Zion. Unto the what? City of the what? Living God. To the what? Heavenly Jerusalem. And to a what? Innumerable company of angels. Verse number 23. To the general assembly. And the, watch that. The general assembly. To the church of the what? Firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of what? All, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, whether you realize it or not, my whole lesson is involved in those three verses, because you are coming to God, you are in the assembly with the God. The New Jerusalem is heaven. The New Jerusalem is fellowship with God. That's why the Bible said there's an innumerable company of angels that are there. Our worship today, though it be at 1013 South Greenville Avenue, but it is also in heaven. Heaven is fellowshipping with us. God is here. Christ is here. The Holy Spirit is here. An innumerable company of angels are here. Everybody who has a problem, God knows what's going on individually with you. The angels are ministering unto us, assessing us, knowing what's going on in your family. The angels know what's going on. God is sending them to minister to your home, to your body, and to your whatever it is. This is God working with us. This ought to be a glorious opportunity for us to work out our situation. Amen. It's a means of connection. It's a means of elevating ourselves on a higher level than this earthly level. This is an opportunity for us to meet God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to hit you just real, not hard, but I want to come back and I want to say something to you. If you know God is here and Christ is here and the Holy Spirit is here, seemed like to me you'd be on time. Amen. I thought I just dropped that. Am I right about it? Yes, I did too. I meant to hit you really with that. Amen. You know, we can get, well, I had such a good thought, but you know what I'm getting ready to say, don't you? Amen, amen, amen. And you know, there's something about, us serving God. And, you know, you finish the rest of that, because you know I could have said a whole lot more about worship. And, you know, but I will, but I just want to keep it on a high note this morning. Amen. But I sure want to come back and say some other things about this worship service. I surely do. I mean, I am so tempted, but I'm gonna bypass it, and I'm going to say I'm pressing on to the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let's keep our feet on higher ground. Let's elevate our praise to God. Let's sing and let's pray and let's give and let's do, because all of heaven is right here. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. When you feel tired, get on up. Come on to the house of God. You'll feel better after you have worshiped God and been encouraged by one another. May God bless you and may God keep you. If you're here and you don't know what this fellowship is all about, fellowship with God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus came that you might be able to have this wonderful promise of salvation. He died that you might be able to live. Amen. He was sacrificed in your stead that God will be pleased through his sacrifice and allow us this wonderful opportunity. It's a great opportunity. It's good to be called the Church of Christ. It's good to be servants of Christ. Let the people know. Profess it to people that God is a good God. Christ is my Lord, and the Holy Spirit resides in me. Let's do that. If you don't have that, I'm begging you to accept it through Christ Jesus. You're going to have to repent of your sin. Jesus said, I tell you, neighbor, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You're going to have to confess him to be the Son of God. Tell the world, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32. Go down with him in the water of grave of baptism for the remission of sin. He will wash away your sin. He will wash away it with the blood that he shed on Calvary. That's what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5. He'll wash away our sin in his own blood. I pray that somebody wants to be saved today. Don't go without him. You need him. Will you come to him right now while together we stand and sing, Will You Come? New heights I'm gaining, they still praying as onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.